This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana, and we're heading into New Year's Eve, and it's pretty exciting. Gonna be waving goodbye to 2023, Barry.
We did a bit of waving on the way to Papatoa and back the last three nights.
So I drove the first two nights, got pretty nice weather. Barry drove last night, and it was torrential rain. It was horrible, wasn't it?
It didn't seem fair. It was fun to play, and they had 16 tables at Papatoa. That's a pretty good turnout for a face-to-face tournament these days.
It was pretty good, and they had the usual nice suppers.
Nice supper? They had three nice suppers, Mariana, so big effort, Papatoa.
We also had suppers provided in the vehicles going up and down.
We did. Mariana had pizza on the first night. It was very good. Mind you, we didn't really need it, but having had supper after play and then hopping in the car to go home, we all managed to eat a bit of supper again on the way home as well, so it probably didn't do much for our waistlines, Mariana.
We had homemade biscuits all the way from Levin.
New Year's resolution to watch what we eat. Well, hasn't finished too well in 2023.
Are you going to do one like that?
I should do.
I doubt it. You couldn't. I will not eat as much food as I did in 23. You wouldn't be able to do that. It's beyond your reach.
Anyway, as Grant Jarvis said in his winning speech, Grant played with Patrick, you know, it was really nice to see all the Papatoa members coming out to support the Papatoa club and get up to 16 tables.
Pretty good. So it was a wide field. Emerald Grandmasters all the way down to novice.
There was a junior pair from Papatoa from the Royal Club, Bruce and Michael Duffin. They finished 21st out of 37 in a 5A tournament. Pretty big effort, for a couple of juniors.
Yeah, absolutely. As Barry said, Patrick Carter and Grant Jarvis won the event. Second was Barry Jones and Jelly Millington. And who was third, Barry?
Joey Chang and Susan Rowe. A bit of sympathy for Steve Bowie and Carol Richardson. They averaged just over 59%. Now, that would win you a lot of tournaments. 59%, as we all know, is a pretty good score. And that was good enough for them to finish sixth, Mariana. It's a bit harsh.
It is, isn't it?
So some pretty big scores in there, those top six, not much in it. The winners, to be fair, won by 8%.
They were polling pretty high.
When you score 70% on the first night, it's hard to catch, isn't it?
Very hard. A lot of people were using it as a warm-up for Thames, which is coming up next weekend. Jack James, Nigel Kearney came first, average of 61.54.
Mariana's talking about the Suzanne Duncan Memorial Tournament in Wellington. Jack James and Nigel Kearney, they had a big 65 on the second night, and they scored 184% over three nights, won by 9%. Surprisingly enough, that would have been good enough for third at Papatoa, but that's all right. They weren't at Papatoa.
Congratulations, Colin Haywood, Morgan Booker, runner-up.
And Barbara Tomilowitz and Johnny Davidson coming in third.
How many tables did they have? Let's have a look. Oh, so they had 14
tables down there, so not a bad turnout.
It's quite popular, these after-Christmas events.
So what did you think about the lady's comment last night, Mariana, that if she'd started playing bridge earlier, she probably wouldn't have had so many children?
Yes, funny, eh?
So she had four. I'm just wondering how many she thinks she would have had if she'd started playing bridge earlier. Although she did make the comment that somebody in Wellington, who we better not name, was playing when she was pregnant. She thought to herself, what a great way to spend a pregnancy, playing bridge.
I guess it is a good way to pass the time. Better than going to Lamarge classes. Right, if you had a resolution for your bridge next year, what would that be?
Oh, it's probably the same one that we always try to do and we always fail at. But that shouldn't stop us from trying.
What's that?
Make less mistakes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that one.
I hate that one. You need to sweep that one under the carpet.
That's all you need to do to get better results, Mariana. As they used to say on the Generation Game, that's all there is to it.
If you who did the Generation Game?
Bruce Forsyth. I think he's still alive.
What it is, like, nice to see you nice. Is that the guy?
Yeah, that guy, yeah. Actually, he might not be alive. I'm not sure. But he's pretty ancient.
No, he was ancient when he was hosting that.
He was. That's all you've got to do to improve your bridge results in the new year is make less mistakes than you did last year.
Well, if you're thinking of a New Year's resolution, send it in. bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. For me, mine is at the stages to actually get back and play more bridge. Don't know how that's going to happen, but
I hear that's going to happen. You started off with three sessions at Papatoa the last three nights, and then you're heading off to Auckland to play one session out of their three-night sessions.
Yep.
For that, you're heading straight off to Thames.
I'm not too sure on Thames at the moment, so I'm not playing Swiss Pairs. I'm potentially playing Thames.
After Thames, there's Waitemata have got a tournament. Kerikeri have got a tournament. There's, of course, the bridge in Canberra, the summer festival over in Canberra. I don't suppose you headed over there or I would have heard about it.
No, not venturing there.
Tauranga have their weekend congress over the Auckland anniversary weekend.
Yeah, I am thinking of going to that.
Canberra, Top of the South have the Robin Young teams.
Have you played there, Top of the South?
I've never played there. So Top of the South, Robin Young teams. The new event, I think, named in honour of Robin Young. Nice touch.
Hey, look, there's actually a restricted open at the Tauranga tournament.
Ah, so they might be able to tempt you with that, Mariana.
They could do that.
They've got the pairs on the first day, and then they've got the teams, which, if you qualify for the final, runs over 2 days. If you don't qualify for the final, there's a 3A consolation pairs on the Monday.
Right, I see. Pretty good numbers for them at the moment.
Yeah, following up, of course, the South Island teams is on the 10th of February. That's going to be online. Do you think we should tell the listeners what we'd like to do in 2024? Or should we just keep it a secret?
No, go on then.
Okay, so this is Mariana's idea. I think it's a really good one, is that we should try and organise an interview with the chairpersons, the chairs of the seven regional committees, see what's going on in all of the regions.
Yeah, that should be good.
Perhaps we could have a competition then against who has the most entertaining regional chairperson. We'd people to vote and see what they reckon. Would they all be just too parochial and they'd all vote for their own, do you think?
Well, they'll vote for their own region.
I'm not convinced. I think some people wouldn't.
So we're going to try and start next week.
So 2024?
Mm-hmm.
They'll all be on holiday, Marianne, and we shouldn't have any trouble getting hold of one of them. We're just going to put all the names in a hat and draw one out. Somebody's listening and they are a regional chair, or if they know a regional chair and they want to talk to them about getting on next week, email us, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com, and we'll put you on air. We'll give you 10 minutes to talk as much as you like.
Be interesting to see how they plan differently, but they should have one focus at the moment, because like Alan mentioned, is to get in the selection criteria for your regional teams that you'll be going to select, that they need to do that ASAP. Then I guess we'll have Kate Terry on once, or Alan again, once they decide what's happening with the online program. So that should be probably mid-February, I would say. Give them some time to read and digest all the data that they get.
Getting a bit late, of course, by then, because, I mean, a lot of clubs having to plan what they're going to do and how they're going to do it.
Well, Papatoa is all set because they know that they're always going to hold those 3 days. I can get that signed off.
Yeah, they care. And obviously South Island Teams has got theirs all ready to go. And some provinces, I believe, have already announced what their trials are going to be, whether they're going to be online or whether they're going to be face-to-face, or what they're going to do.
So play more bridge. That's what I'm going to do. Haven't played much bridge since Congress this year. So when's your first overseas trip? Oh, that'll be Gold Coast. That's an easy one.
Nothing much happening till the Gold Coast. We're booked in. And interesting to see that the Gold Coast have finally announced the year after next, 2025, is going to be back at the Broadbeach once again, which I think that's a good idea. I mean, it is a great venue. It was going to be tough for them to find a better one.
I wonder what hurdles they had to jump to get it back there, because it sounded like the relationship was all done and dusted.
It did a bit. It sounded like it wasn't going to be at the convention centre at Broadbeach. It's going to be somewhere else and nobody quite knew where. And then eventually we hear the new venue is the old venue.
It just seems crazy.
I'm presuming a lot of it was the cost. I mean, everything's expensive these days and hiring something like that wouldn't come cheap.
And here's the end part of our chat with Alan Morris, the chairman of NZ Bridge.
Anything else that NZ Bridge has got lined? Have they got a mini budget coming up where they're going to hand out some goodies to any of the clubs? It's something about development or training, or what's NZ Bridge got lined up for 2024 that we need to know about, Alan? I've really put them on the spot here.
We're helping with training or marketing. So there is a marketing budget in there that clubs can access through their regions. And that's all designed about trying to grow membership numbers. So Mel's been doing a lot of good work in that space. I don't know if you've had an opportunity of spending a bit of time with her.
I haven't. Sorry, that's...
Okay, so I would suggest that you...
Tauranga, is it?
Yeah, she's based in Tauranga. She'd be well worth coming on your program and talking about the work that she's doing in that space.
What's her position on New Zealand Bridge, Ellen? She's...
Marketing.
Okay, yep.
And I would get her on board. She's can be contacted at mel.auld, A-U-L-D, at nzbridge.co.nz.
Might be some clubs listening that want to contact her too.
She's doing a lot of work with clubs and with the regions, so I think that would be really good space to work. My objective really is to try and get the player numbers up. And if we look at it in small bites, and that's what she's doing, and challenge each club to just grow their membership depending on its current size. So if it's a very, a small club of, say, 50 members, if they can increase in net terms by one a year, then we're making good progress. Than bigger clubs, obviously, it's a graduated scale. And then we can get pretty close to 15,000 over the next 3 or 4 years. It's the small bites rather than the big bites. We're investing a lot in the marketing space.
And if you haven't had any emails about the beginner's lessons book, you can get 20 free straight off the bat. So get your requests in. And then after that, there's a small charge for it.
Yeah. So. Last year, we put those booklets out. They were well received by the players, to the best of our knowledge.
Yes, they were.
We had a huge number of orders. So we think some clubs ordered far more than they'd ever use. That's why we've put a cap on this year. Otherwise, they cost money to print and all of those things. So we're trying to get in behind to support clubs through their lesson program and converting players into permanent members.
Yep.
Because once you start playing, more often than not, then you become addicted and you stay with the game for a lifetime. And that's what we would like to see. So there's quite a lot of work in that space. I'm keen in 24 to look at somebody who can help us with sponsorship, who've got the skills and experience and contacts in that space. And they don't have to be big sponsorship amounts, but sponsorship for events, sponsorship for our international players and so on. If you look at these teams, they've got their jerseys on and it might have Coke or Pepsi and Spark or whatever they might have on their shirts, being able to kind of do a bit of sponsorship for them and sponsorship money for us, I think a useful income stream that would help support some of the programs that are in existence or we would like to work on.
Okay.
Look, Marietta, she's just got back from Pyro. Perhaps we could have lemon and Pyro on our shirts.
Why not?
Oh, we're famous
in New Zealand.
It could be Sky City, anybody who we could see value, because when you suddenly think about it, so we've got 12,500 members. They've got families and extended families and friends and neighbours. The opportunity for a corporate could be quite good if we could come up with some form of communication strategy that promotes that brand.
Yeah.
Insurance is a classic example. The cost of insurance will hurt a lot of clubs this year.
Yeah.
Because we know the cost of insurance is going through the roof. Because of the storms, because of Cyclone Gabrielle, because of global warming, whatever the case may be, Wellington, even in 2023, when it got its insurance bill, it just shook them to the core because they sit on the terrace, basically. It's a brick building. They're required to undertake some earthquake strengthening. Insurance in Wellington has very sizable excesses that would make your eyes water. And they're in this space, what do we do? Do we insure or not insure? Because they've got to have a lot of damage before they'd ever get the first dollar.
Can we
find a collective scheme around the country that, I won't say shares the cost, but at least provides the opportunity for them to have insurance versus not having any insurance?
How many bridge clubs are there in the country that own their own premises? And if we try to insure the whole lot of them with, well, I better not name an insurance provider. But
that's difficult to do because there are situations like the two in Hamilton, completely different. There's one with building and land and there's the other one with just with building. So it makes it quite different which slot you actually fit into.
Yeah, but we're not insuring the land in most cases. It's just the building. So all I'm saying is there are some things that we need to think about.
Brilliant. And with that...
Thanks for coming on and trying to answer some questions for us.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. Ciao. So clubs, I guess you'd be looking at getting your lesson flyers out again. We're thinking of revamping our lessons brochure for next year. Barry, we're going to add a couple more pictures on it. Says a lot of things, so we're going to add a couple more pictures of people, various people playing bridge and on that to see if that entices some more. But we've already got 5 people interested in lessons for next year.
I was reading an article by Paul Marston, who's always worth a look. Pretty sure he was saying something along the lines of he believes that when you teach bridge, you should not teach no trumps at all to start with. Just talk about suits.
Ah.
Interesting.
What do you think about that? Seems a bit weird. At the beginning, if you didn't introduce no trumps at the beginning, because our programs, you can either start with no trumps straight away or you can introduce it lesson 4, I think it is. What do you think about not doing it at all?
I mean, I don't know. It only sounds weird because I've never heard of anybody doing it. I guess it's one thing they don't have to worry about. They just have to bid their 4-card suits. It would get a bit messy, obviously, when they had 12 to 14 balanced. I thought that's what you were going to ask me. What do they do when they've got 12 to 14 balanced? And the answer is they just bid their lowest suit.
I don't know if I totally agree with that, because when you're bidding shape and range, they have to know whether your hand is unbalanced or balanced. It would be a bit weird just to chuck it in. Oh, and we're not going to do that.
Paul Marston, I respect a lot what he has to say, and that's what he said. Now, he knows more about bridge than most bridge teachers have ever known. So he thinks it's a good idea. Maybe it's worth a shot.
Maybe.
If it makes it easier for people to learn, then it's probably a good idea.
Might do that. Might slide out lesson 4 this year. See what happens and add it in later, late. Where would a good slot to add it in be?
Look, I honestly don't know the answer to that. I'm pretty sure he decided that when he was teaching them, he never taught no trumps at all. Presumably that was going to come much later. It is confusing for people, I know. They sort of want to bid no trumps and can't. It's awkward. They can't bid no trumps because it shows something that they haven't got.
That's really interesting. Hey, but one question I'd like to say to listeners, to you clubs out there, if you wouldn't mind giving me an email, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com, which way do you start your beginner lessons? So do you start from lesson 2A, which is one level opening bids, or do you actually start with opening 1, no trump? You start with 2B. That'd be interesting to know. And also the reasons why your club does it that way. So, yeah, another thing.
I know somebody's going to bound to write in and ask me where the heck I read that article. If only I could remember, Maria. I have a feeling it was on the ABF website, and it may have been in one of the ABF newsletters that there was a piece in there by Paul Marston. Yeah, I found it very interesting.
As part of the Bridge Zone's commitment to try and raising new members or new interest in our game of bridge, here's a segment about why bridge is awesome. If you're looking for a new interest as part of your New Year's resolution for 2024, consider bridge. You'll love it for life.
G'day, it's Pete here. I love bridge, and I just wanted to take a moment to talk about why this game is awesome. So, I've been lucky enough to play bridge at the highest levels. I've been able to go to world championships and compete for my country at these. But you don't need to. You can enjoy bridge playing it at any level. You can get really competitive. You can play it just online, or you can play it with friends just at your house. You can go to bridge clubs. It really varied at what you can play it. And you can enjoy it whether you're playing really competitively or not. But what about it really keeps me coming back is it's like a logic puzzle where it really tests your problem-solving ability. You get to play detective and try and work out who's got what cards and what do you think's going to be happening. And for me, the sooner that you can actually do it, the better you are at it. So it's always this challenge to, could I have got this information sooner? And there's lots of information out there, and you really need to just work out what information is actually relevant to me? And you sort of sift through this, and there's ways that you can get drawn out and just like get stuck in this loop and make a mistake, and that's like, oh, why did I get stuck there? And you get to come back. And other times you feel like an absolute genius when you just navigate this path to the right answer and get to know that. Also, you get to battle the odds. You get to know these probabilities and work out, should we be doing that or not? It's not just these rules that you follow, but you have these ideas of, should I be doing that, or should I actually go down this different path? But also, it's got a lot of psychological elements that, for, at least from my part view, is sort of underutilized. I like to consider, do I bluff the opponents? Do I disrupt the opponents? How do I make it awkward for them? So often I know people just sort of focus on what they're doing, but I really like to think about, how do I make life easier for my partner? Or how do I make it really difficult for the opponents? Or do I just lay this mystery of hiding what I've actually got? Because when it comes back to playing detective, you can sort of hide that and make that a lot more difficult for the opponents. And it's this balancing act for trying to help your partner out or make it really, really difficult for the opponents. The other thing is luck. There is an element of luck in Bridge, but compared to other card games, they've worked out ways in the scoring to try and really reduce this so that it's very, very skill rewarding. But it's such that it's not just deterministic. You can go to competitions and sometimes you get to play against the best of the best, and that might be a bit daunting. But if you play really well, and by the way, even the best of the best make lots of mistakes. There is a lot of room for improvement. If you want to improve in this game, it keeps giving you that chance to better yourself, which I find very rewarding whenever I can make these improvements. When you go to tournaments and you can play against some of these top players, if you play really well, you can beat them. If you're playing a different sport like tennis and you came up against the world number one, there is no way you're going to be beating them. It is just not going to happen. You are just that far apart skill-wise. But in Bridge, you can have a significant gap, but luck can go your way. The opponents can make mistakes, and you can beat them. Most of the time, they'll beat you, but you get that chance, so it keeps you hooked. And when that time does come, you really want to like live off that. You want to go tell everyone, enjoy that moment. So often do I hear at tournaments that these people beat this really good player and how it made their day. I love hearing those stories, and it keeps people coming back and enjoying the game. But basically, Bridge has reduced luck compared to other card games. But with all card games, there is that element of luck. So it's both a combination of skill and luck, and very skill intensive, which makes it rewarding. That element of luck or randomness gives everyone an opportunity, which I think is fantastic. Another thing that I really think that's awesome about Bridge compared to some other sort of intellectual games is you're working with a partner. It's not just you battling it alone. You're actually working with someone else, and this makes it extremely social. So first of all, your goal is to try and sort of align your mind so that you're thinking together and working out how to get the best results out of each other. It's a team game. It's a partnership game rather than you just being alone. So the fact that this is such a social game is it builds friendships. I have made countless friends from people playing Bridge. I know them all over the world, but however you play it, you will build fantastic friendships just by being able to discuss and talk about this game. It'll create this real community for you. Everyone I know that plays Bridge manages to build this community, and I think it's a fabulous asset of the game, where you get to discuss with people, you find out where you went right or wrong. Even apart from Bridge, it just builds these connections and a way that you can rely and connect with other people. But the biggest reason is it's fun. Give it a go. Like so many people find that it's complicated or there's too many rules. It can be simplified. It can be, you can take out of it what you want to take out of it. Give it a shot. And how you can get started. First thing I'd recommend is grab a friend. As I said, it's a really social game. If you come with a friend, it'll help you build these connections to start with. So give that a shot. Then what I'd recommend is the sort of three main ways that you can sort of do it. The number one I'd recommend is check out your local bridge club. They will offer bridge lessons and ways to get into it. And that's a great starting point to build that community. Also, there are videos online that you can check out how to play bridge. There's lots of them. Find ones that you like and go from there. Or the third one is there is some free learn to play bridge software. If you want to test that out, you can check it out there. Anyway, that's why I think bridge is awesome. I hope you give it a shot and you think it is too. Anyway, thanks and we'll see you next time.
That's enough time for us, Barry.
We'll be talking again in 2024.
Don't forget Barry's tip. Make less mistakes.
Don't bid no trumps.
My tip, play more bridge.
Seriously, that's not my tip.
No, but I wish everybody a happy new year.
So I understand that he's even updated his latest book, you know, his introduction to bridge book.
Yeah,
to take that into account.
Oh, wow, I must have a look at it. But do you have to get rid of your old stock if your club's holding it before you get the new one? Okay, well, people, we shall see you at the table. Barry's definitely playing teams and TMs. I might venture over there if I get my act together. Failing that, we could see you at Tauranga. If you've got any questions and if you want to get back to us about the way that your club takes lessons and in which order they take. What's the other thing, Barry?
If you play more bridge, you can have less kids.
Anyway, take care on the roads. Don't become a statistic. And we'll see you at the table.
Of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.